Blog Talk Radio.
You know very well who you are. Don't let them hold you down. Reach for the stars. You had a goal, but not that many. 'Cause you're the only one I'll give you good today.
Everybody, well, you know what time it is. It is Wednesday night. It is 8 p.m. So it's time for the ladies of sports to rock your microphones once again. Happy, happy new year, everyone. This is LL Sports 2 with TJ, and I am your host, TJ. All right, this is a sports show for everyone, but we do cater to the novice female sports fans because we are in the business of trying to help educate the ladies on the fundamentals of baseball, basketball, and football. All right, coming to you Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There are several ways for you to join the show. One, pick up your telephone and dial 347-826-7924. You can join us at blogtalkradio.com/LLSports2. And you can catch us live and in living color, Facebook Live, Tina D. Jackson. And, yes, we are live on Facebook now, doing the show a little bit differently tonight. It's going to be a little bit more fluid, all right? So not so much in step with the, programming or the outline that I generally have. We're just going to kind of lead with the flow and see where the show will take us, all right? But again, please make sure that you follow the show. Go to blogtalkradio.com/LLSports2. Click on the follow link. Most importantly, make sure to activate your email. Otherwise, your name and number will not be counted. Also, you can find us in iTunes, all right? Just go to your iTunes account and click subscribe. Well, LL Sports 2 with TJ, and then click subscribe, all right? So like I said, we are now live on Facebook. Want to shout out everybody. My auntie Karen in the house. What's up, Rail? I see you in the house. My mommy, Denise Green, holding down the timeline for it for your girl. Tonight, just we want to hear from you, your thoughts on the timeline. You can call us up, 347-826-7924. I'm going to do my best to read the timeline comments tonight because I want to be very interactive with you all tonight on the topic, of course, that you already know that we're going to start with. But let me go ahead and bring in the lovely ladies of this show. Waiting for everybody to hit number one for me. There we go. Here we go. And let me say, it's 2023, y'all. Happy New Year, everybody on Facebook. But let me bring in the lovely ladies. It is the triple threat in the house tonight. Aunt Lou, Danelle, ladies.
Happy New Year, queens. Oh, we made it. 2023. Thank God. Oh, Lord.
Waiting on Janelle, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. Good evening, ladies. Good evening.
Good evening.
I know, you know, Aunt Lou intended to dominate the microphone there, you know, she just but it's okay.
Yeah, that's always. That's just Miss Lucinda.
I thought we was gonna start the new year all right, ladies. Oh my goodness.
Well, we are telling right. The truth, that is right.
Okay. Your truth, you're entitled.
That's the way to do it. We're going to start it off with a smile. I'm not going to lie to you. Your heart was a little heavy. It's been so heavy, but I think, you know, everybody knows why. One thing I am going to say, these filters here on TikTok, they're really kind of exciting. So I had to do something to like, lift my spirits here at the very beginning. So that Happy New Year, that's the last time. And I said, well, when else can I use the Happy New Year, you know, filter? So, hey, I need it tonight. Anyway. But it's a lot of good filters on TikTok there. All right, so as I said, tonight the show lineup is going to be very different. No song to start off the show, nor will I do a rundown. We're just going to go ahead and get right into it. My Auntie Kim is in the house. Melvin Niner, thank you so much. Reginald, thank you so much for tuning into the show tonight. As I said, all of your comments that you put on the timeline, I'm going to read them in as real time as I can. So, ladies, I want to also let you know that. So if I kind of go back to the timeline and then come to you, and so it's going to be kind of a lot of back and forth tonight. So y'all bear with me as well. All right, but yes, we are going to kick it off tonight with, my worst nightmare coming true in watching a football game. Thankfully, DeMar Hamlin is still with us. Thankful that the first responders at the Cincinnati Bengals arena stadium and the staff, their medical staff, are as efficient as they are, because this could have been a totally, if you listen to all of the doctors and everyone, this could have just been a totally different story as of today. So we are going to be thankful. We're going to be grateful for where we stand today, Wednesday, January the 4th, when it comes to the health condition of DeMar Hamlin. But just a quick recap, at 8:55, Monday Night Football, the Bengals versus the Bills, highly anticipated matchup, a lot of implications in this game. As a matter of fact, the winner of this game dictated when the Bengals were going to play this coming Sunday, whether they would play at 1 or 4:25. So, again, a lot of implications. Highly anticipated, probably the most anticipated Monday night game of the season. 8:55, the injury occurred with DeMar Hamlin tackling T. Wiggins. 9:18, the game temporarily was suspended. At 9:25 p.m. Eastern, the ambulance left the stadium. We're going to talk about that. At 10:01, the game officially was postponed. So it took them little over an hour to postpone the game. When I look back at the timeline, it seemed like it was a lot longer than that. But when you put it in context, and that's why I wanted to give you all I'm trying to give you as much information as I can. But when you put it in context, it was just a little over an hour where they did make the decision. DeMar Hamlin, 24 years old. He's from Keys Rocks, Pennsylvania. Son of Mario and Nina Hamlin. He has one younger brother who is 7 years old. In his hometown and in Buffalo, he created the Chasing M's Foundation back in 2020. He's a sixth-round draft pick. He was drafted by the Bills in 2021 from the University of Pittsburgh. He made his first career start in week 3 of this season due to the injury to safety Micah Hyde, who sustained a season-ending injury, like I said, in week 3. For the Bills this season, we do know how well the Bills have been playing. He has been a very intricate part of this Bills defense. He's played 30 career games, DeMar Hamlin has, but again, he's officially started week 3 of this season with 807 defensive snaps, played this season, and that is the third most on the Bills this year. So, again, only starting in week 3, and he's still ranked third in how many defensive snaps he's played. So, again, that gives you kind of an idea of how intricate he's been to this Bills defense. He does remain in critical condition. He is in ICU. According to his uncle, Dorian Glenn, he says that Hamlin was resuscitated twice, once on the field, which is what his teammates were witnessing when we all saw the visible pain that they were in. He was also resuscitated once he got to the hospital. They're saying that his oxygen levels are improving, whereas he was on 100% oxygen when he first arrived at the hospital. The medical staff, they are very hopeful in the direction that he's moving, how his vitals were as of last night and as this morning. So he is progressing in the, like I said, positively in the way that the medical staff was hoping that he would be. They're saying he's currently about on 50% oxygen as of now. His uncle Dorian Glenn also says that their main concern right now is potential lung damage. So that's one thing that they're kind of concerned about. An update from a close friend of the family. This is according to Coley Harvey of ESPN. He wrote this. He says, I quote, just chatted with DeMar Hamlin's family friend Jordan. Per Jordan and DeMar's family, doctors overnight got promising readings that they had been hoping to see by this morning. Jordan couldn't go into specifics, but progress appears to be made, end quote. So, again, kind of reiterating the information that he is moving in the right direction. But he is still heavily sedated and listed in critical condition. Shout out to everybody. Victoria, I see you in the house. New Jack, Timothy Sawyer, thank you so much for tuning into the show. As I said, if you type in on the timeline, I want to read your comments as live as I can, or feel free to give us a call, 347-826-7924, if you'd like to just share, you know, your thoughts just on this whole situation. But ladies, I do want to turn it over to you now, and I just want to pose the question, your initial thoughts. I don't know if you saw the game, so if you did see the game, how you, you know, just your play-by-play of how you felt. And then just the simple fact of we have seen. I've been watching football 30-plus years of my life, of my 50 years. Never have we seen a incident like this during a football game where the ambulance drives onto the field. The player has to have CPR to resuscitate them. And just this unknowing, gut-wrenching feeling of not knowing how this player is. We see injuries all the time, but nothing to this degree. So, again, ladies, I just want you to share just your overall thoughts on the situation. Janelle, we'll have you go first.
Yeah, I did see it when it happened. It stunned me because he literally, the hit didn't look that serious, first off. But second, the way he fell, he literally just dropped. And my heart just dropped right with him. I was so scared for him. And then when they announced that they were doing CPR on him, I just knew that he wasn't going to make it off that field alive. So I'm so grateful that he's still with us, just like you, because that was one of the scariest things I've ever seen watching a football game. I'm so stunned. I'm just, what warms my heart though is the literally across the board with every single football team, the love that he's getting, not just with the football teams, but I mean, literally everybody is talking about this and everybody is praying for him to make it through, because this is just, you know, we talk about it all the time. You never know. And what's amazing, he did an interview with somebody just 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of the show. And he literally said that he is grateful for every single second that he gets, because you never know when that last hug or that last, you know, communication that you have with a person is going to be your last. So to hear him say that and then to have this happen is just, it's mind-blowing. And it literally makes you appreciate every second that you have, because you know, as much as we love this game, we tend to forget how dangerous it can be, because we generally don't see things at this capacity of this level of seriousness happen. So, you know, we never look at it like that. We know it can be dangerous at times, but for it to be a situation like this, it's just, it's heartbreaking. It truly is.
You're so right. It's like we know injuries are going to happen. We know that torn ACLs. We know broken bones. You know, we've seen the Theismans of the world, the broken legs. We've seen the Shaziers of the world being paralyzed from the, you know, from the waist down. Other previous players, you know, before Shazier. But I don't want to say we expect that, but we're prepared for that as football fans, I think. And like you said, to me, this was just the stark reminder of how these men are human. At the end of the day, we know that. We know that they're not cyborgs. We know that they're not robots. But at the same time, for them to do this job, it takes a rare breed. Let's just be real. And the injuries and the just the injuries that they play through, that they come back from, the concussions, all of that, you tend to take for granted what these men put their bodies through. But like you said, to know that CPR was administered, that's as real and as humanitarian as it can get. Life or death. CPR is life and death. That's bottom line. And that, oh, my God, yeah. But I don't want to go too much into it. Hey, Lou, we want to hear your thoughts on this, how you felt.
Yeah, I was watching the game and I was cooking, and so it was this game was just exciting, you know, starting off and everything. And then when that happened, I was like, I kept seeing the 3-7 score because I had turned my volume down, and then I realized what had happened, and I was like, man, you know, it was just so sad because he's so young. Thank God that he didn't die. I've been really praying for him, you know, daily, just that God would heal him and bring him back and everything, because this could be a testament for the football world and just for sports, period, that, you know, tomorrow's not promised to us. And so, you know, if something like this can happen, and, you know, people have said, well, you know, they could get their leg broke or something, and this could be the end of their career. But, you know, just to see that, it was devastating, you know. And like Janelle said, that there was so much love that was exhibited, you know, through all the, you know, the players and just people all over the world, you know, even from other sports, you know, that they've been chiming in, you know, wishing him well and just praying for him and everything. But I just, you know, you just never know. And who would have thought, you know, that as young as he was and stuff, you know what I mean, that he would have, you know, gone into cardiac arrest. So we just got to be careful, and as we stated earlier about these guys, you know, getting in shape and stuff, you know, I know COVID kind of just turned everything around, but we got to start taking care of ourselves better, you know, in working out and stretching, because even these injuries that have been going on, even minor injuries, because that was major, but, you know, the minor injuries that's been happening to our players, that they get hit, or even some of them don't even get hit, you know, and they turn a certain way or slide a certain way on the field and they hurt, you know, so it's just, you've got to be, you know, you got to be careful. And, you know, I just thank God that he's still alive, and I believe that he's going to recover.
Shout out to you, Kimberly. He in the house. Jason Peters, Scott, I see you in the house. Pete, Timothy Sawyer, thank y'all so much. Sandra Taylor, thank y'all so much for tuning in to the show tonight. And don't forget, 347-826-7924, that's the number to call if you'd like to call in and talk to us, or definitely please feel free to share your thoughts on the timeline. As I said, I'm going to try my best to be as interactive with the comments as possible tonight, because I want to let you know that I do see your thoughts there. Justin, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I'm with you, ladies. It's like when you saw the play, you know, it just looked like your standard, ordinary play. And then when they showed the replay, how you said, Janelle, like how he just fell back, and you're like, that's not normal. To piggyback off what you were saying about the interview that DeMar did recently, like you said, just a little bit over 3 weeks ago, and he was speaking of his teammate, Dane Jackson. They grew up together in Pittsburgh, and they are fortunate to be teammates on the Buffalo Bills. And he was speaking about a specific instance where they were in a prayer circle, and he was holding Dane's hand, and how he said he just squeezed it a little bit tighter because you never know when it could be the last time that, you know, you're going to be able to be doing what it is that you love and you know, living out your childhood dreams. So to get back to the game, when Joe Buck and Troy Aikman came back from the second commercial and it was still deadly, it was eerily quiet on the TV. So you can only imagine what it was like in the stadium. I mean, it was just eerily quiet. And they said, you know, just real quickly, there's nothing, you know, and we're going to go back to, we're going to go to a commercial again. That's when I knew, okay, something isn't right. What's going on? And, you know, just as fans, as I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm inquisitive, a.k.a. nosy. I don't know how you want to say it. But I want to know. I want to know what's going on. And there's just nothing. And then when Joe Buck said that they had administered CPR and he had been down for 9 minutes, it was just a gut, my stomach just dropped. And it was like, oh, my God. And I hate to say that I just went to the worst, but I was like, this man isn't going to make it. 9 minutes, CPR, and he's still there. He's not on the, I mean, oh, my goodness. And then, you know, finally they come back. Then they go to Susie and Booger and Adam Schefter, and you're just like, oh, my goodness, this is just – and this Booger, his demeanor, because now in my mind I'm thinking they have information that they can't tell us. Whatever it is that they're seeing, whatever's being transmitted to them, there's just information that they're not able to tell us, and this young man is no longer with us. And so then, you know, he goes off to the hospital. And then when Joe Buck said, we're going to give him five, they said that they're going to give him 5 minutes to warm up. I was like, what is 5 minutes going to do? Ladies, I want to get your opinion. When you heard that, were you not dumbfounded?
It's not that I was dumbfounded. My first thought was he can give them all the minutes they want. When you looked at the faces of those players, they weren't getting ready to start nothing in 5 minutes. They were all, most of the Bills players were crying. They were all frustrated and upset. There's no way they could have pulled themselves together in 5 minutes, and you could see it on their faces. There's no way they would have been able to play.
That was very insensitive that, you know, what he said, but, you know, some people are like that. But, yeah, you could see that it was way more serious and severe than we realized. And that coach, though, McDermott, my head, I just want to give him kudos because he's like, I need to be at the hospital with him. You know what I mean? He was like, we're not going to do any more playing. I mean, how could you even think about playing after something like that went down anyway? You know what I mean? It was just like your head wouldn't be in the game. And even the Bengals, even though that wasn't their player, but you know, you could see how you know that they were worried as well. You know what I mean? And just sympathetic and loving. So it's like, you know, you got to pray for some people.
Jason Peter says both coaches decided not to play the game, according to sources. But shame on the NFL if they wanted to continue to play on. Well, that's just one thing I do want to clear up. It was never the intention of the NFL to continue the game. NFLPA Troy Vincent, he came on and he specifically said he does not know where Joe Buck got that five-minute time frame. No one relayed that. No one spoke that. So I think Joe up there just making up stuff. And Joe might need to be taken into a room and told, he might need to be suspended for a game. I know we're in the cancer culture, but you just don't make up nothing like that. Now, if he can tell us where he got that information, then whoever told him that, then they need some disciplinary action. But for him to come on the national TV airwaves and say a five-minute, I mean, I don't even know if I could have said that because it just sounded ridiculous. like you said, when you saw the reaction from the players, you're like, 5 minutes? What is 5 minutes going to do? So, yeah, Joe needs, he needs to have a little counseling session. But I just want to clear that up. It was never the intention of the NFL or the NFLPA, Roger Goodell or Troy Vincent, to resume the game at no time. They said that they were going to give these teams as much time as they needed to make the decision that they needed to make. Ladies, I'm with you. I commend not only Sean McDermott, but Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor spoke today to the media for the first time. He said, skip all that telephone, you know, because they have telephone units, so to speak, on the sidelines to where you can talk to the people up in the booth. You can talk to New York. You can talk, you know, to whoever you need to. Zach said, no, I'm about to walk over here to this field on the other side of this field, and we're going to have a conversation, and we're going to decide, you know, where we go from here.
And not just him, Tina. You know who else is definitely a class act in this whole situation is Joe Burrow, because he literally gathered all the team captains and went to the locker room of the Bills to talk to them first, and then that's when the rest of the team followed him over. That was, for me, he was probably feeling the same thing, that, you know, phone calls and secondhand information is not going to do it. We need to be with each other to figure out what's going on. And they were providing so much support to each other when they were all on the field. It was just amazing. It's amazing to see that because, you know, usually prior to situations like that, you know, you have your people who have their grudges against each other. And then you have your people who, you know, are always going to be extremely extra masculine and don't really, you know, want to be dapping people up. But they were supporting each other. Like, it was amazing. It was honestly amazing to see.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing, another thing that I commend those players for, the Bengals and the Bills team, how they made that forge, that wall around him so that cameras or anything, nothing could penetrate. And they just, it's like they
right.
just put a cocoon around DeMar. Oh, my God, that was just that was so touching. But, yeah, just the camaraderie, the true brotherhood was on full display on Monday night. From
and if,
coaches to players to staff to the medical, I mean, the humanity that was shown from, and I'm telling y'all, the fact that the fans, not only did they stayed pretty much that hour. You could see as they kept coming back, you know, sections were empty and so forth. But the fact that those fans that did remain, and it was dead silence, it was just like, the concern, and then when you saw the fans that went to the hospital, they said that it was like roughly like 50-some people that night, but then the next day, Jim Kelly's wife, a former quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, who when they went to the Super Bowl four times and weren't able to win, but his wife, she rallied up a prayer circle of, like they said, 150 to 200 people to come out to the hospital that next day. I'm telling you, if you have never tried it for yourself, prayer, I'm telling you, it has been on full display since Monday. Prayer works. I don't care what anybody says. The God that I serve, prayer works. But like I said, that just to see the fans, you saw Stephon Diggs going to the hospital, catching an Uber to the hospital. You saw Zach Taylor, the coach for the Bengals, arriving at the hospital, other teammates going there. But just to see, like I said, the whole stadium was just so eerily quiet. I just found that so remarkable. Let's see here. Try to get everybody. Khan, thank you so much. Eric, thank you so much for tuning in to the show. This is my mommy. David Monk, John Downer, Shasha, everybody, thank you all so much for tuning in to the show tonight. Of course, we are kicking off the show with, you know, the tragic injury to DeMar Hamlin here. But again, saying that he grew up, I already said that about with Dane Jackson. But the, like I said, just the camaraderie that, and what the NFL did. Ladies, I don't know if you were aware of this, but that picture, the blue with the number 3, Pray for DeMar, how every NFL team at 3 o'clock on yesterday changed their social media profile to that same image. I thought that was phenomenal. Ladies, were you aware of that?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. If I've never been more proud to be an NFL fan, I am at this moment. Like you said, Janelle, it kind of hits home to all of the rivalries and the animosity that you see from Sunday to Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whenever. You know, that's kind of what makes the game, you know, as fans, if we're being honest. But I don't know how these players, how they go on from here, the mindset that they'll have from now on. Because like I said, we know about injuries. Injuries are going to happen. But this right here is a totally different beast. I'm just so thankful for the NFL that they allow these teams to make the decision not to play. I don't even – well, I know it wasn't because both Troy Vincent and Roger Goodell said that there was never even a thought to play – to finish the game. And as they said, they didn't even know when they're going to resume it. And there's still no plan. We're gonna get to the football aspect of it here in a little bit. But, the humanity that has been shown throughout the NFL is absolutely phenomenal. I do want to go to the phone lines here. We have someone who wants to chime in and talk to us. 904-699, you're on with the ladies.
You haven't remembered my phone number. Hey, 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 that's right. It is she, Queen K. And that's Q-U-E-N-K-E-E. Because that E was so nice. My mama done it twice. How you ladies doing tonight?
We are
Happy New Year, young lady.
Happy New Year, LaKeisha.
Happy New Year, everyone. I missed you guys so much. I wanted to talk a little bit about, since you were on the Hamill situation before, you guys changed subjects because I have another meeting starting in about 20 minutes. But I wanted to put my little 2 cents in there. I was overwhelmed when I was a really, really small baby. I saw one player, my granddad was watching a game, that was paralyzed on the field. And I remember the shock that went through my body as a little teeny girl seeing that. And it kind of reverted me back because I'm watching. I'm like, okay, next play, whoop, whoop, whoop. Then all of a sudden, I walked like I was going to the bathroom, and everybody was like, she said, build a wall around them and everything, and I had no idea what was going on. But when I saw the replay, my heart just skipped a beat because this little boy, and I don't want to call him a little boy because he is a grown man, but he's 4 years younger than my son, right? So the mother aspect in me then kicked in. Like, that's somebody's baby. So I was really appreciative and grateful that they had the medical staff. I was appreciative and grateful that they went up and got his mom out the stands and them both medical staffs. And then I found out from a source that medical staff actually from Cincinnati Hospital, they dispatched emergency staff from the hospital in case the ambulance, you know, because the ambulance was taking a while in the tunnel waiting for his mom to come down. So they were sending people towards him as he was going towards the hospital too. So they had it all covered. So I am really grateful, and we need to give a lot of shout-out and kudos to the medical people who stepped up to take care of him in the instant. But what I wanted to talk about on the back end of that medical portion is that the NFL did a great job changing logos, did whatever they wanted to do, whatever. My concern for this young man is that he is 24. It is only his second year. And with the collective bargaining agreement, he may need long-term care that the NFL does not pay for. They don't pay. They don't pay for disability, things of that sort. And since he's not one of those key players like a top-end quarterback that got a bajillion dollars, I think this poor kid only made like $160,000 over the last 2 years. I mean, they're gonna spend that up with him being in ICU for 3 days. I would like to see them start questioning and putting more things into implicate long-term care, medical care for players who are not the bajillion-dollar players who are injured. Am I reaching on that, ladies, or what?
Well, no, actually, I was going to tap on this this aspect of it as well, but Troy Vincent actually spoke in a conference call today, and he said that there's not going to be a problem. He is going to work it out so that his medical will be covered, because you're correct. And a player does not get full benefits until their third year in the season. So a lot, I don't know if a lot of people are aware of that. But, yeah, you have to be literally in the league 3 years before you're even eligible for medical. But Troy Vincent said that he is going to find a way for this for DeMar to be covered, for his medical to be covered.
I think that would be wonderful. And it's not just for him. Like, they're doing this for his situation. But I think it needs to be they're about to go back to the table in a couple of months, right, to re-bargain. I think this is a situation.
I'm sure it's definitely something that, you know, that they can revisit. But as of right now, I mean, this needs to be done.
Yeah.
This needs to be attended to as of right now. They don't need to wait
now,
for
because
the owner's meeting.
Right. Because that $3 million that they're donating, or $6 million is up to now right now, his family may need to very well use that for his medical care if you know, the NFL doesn't, you know, step up and do it. I really love the NFL, and I hope that they do the right thing. That was all I had to say, but I love you guys.
And we love you right back, Lakeisha.
Love you, Lori.
Thank you so much for calling me in. All right.
Don't be a
friend
right now.
All right. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. You hit us up on the timeline or call us up, and we'll get you right on in. But, yeah, I didn't know, ladies, if were you aware, for first off, that, you know, players do have to be on the roster 3 years before they're eligible for medical. But Troy Vincent, he did in an NFL conference call today, said that he was going to find a way for them to take care of his medical and his benefit.
I did know that. I was waiting for you, because if I know you the way that I do, I know that you have touched on every aspect of this, and I was waiting for you to bring that up. I was aware of that, but I was not aware that they were planning on taking care of things for him. That is fantastic, because I was worried about that.
That did warm my heart when I heard that today. And if anyone, I don't know if it's out on YouTube or anything, but I know that they played it on NFL Network. If you want to try to find the interview with Troy Vincent, I mean, it has to be one of the most emotional calls, interviews, or whatever you want to consider it. I mean, this man, you could tell he is just personally affected. Probably from being an ex-player, a former player, still being close to the league, but he was so emotional today, and you could feel in his spirit that he is going to do everything humanly possible, everything in his power, to make sure that this young man is taken care of. And I agree with Lakeisha, you know, it shouldn't just be for this one incident, but let's be real. This is unprecedented. We've never seen this happen before. So if he has to be the first case, I probably, you know, anybody who hasn't had their, you know, situations taken care of for lifelong or long-term, I apologize for it. But this is unprecedented circumstances. So if there is anyone who the needle needs to be moved for, it is this young man here. I have no problem with that. 347-826-7924, that is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight. You mentioned it, the charity the GoFundMe that he had on his page ever since 2020. He put this GoFundMe together before he even got drafted into the league. That's how, you know, long it's been. Now, one thing I do want to say, because his initial goal was $2,500. Now, before the accident, he had reached his goal. He was at $29,000. So the narrative that, you know, it's just – now, don't get me wrong, $6 million is a big drastic difference from $29,000. But just kind of the narrative was like he couldn't reach his $25,000. I was like, okay, if you're going to report it, just report it accurately. Don't act like he only had $2,000 in there, and then now he has $6 million. But yeah, he had $29,000 at the start of Monday night's football game, and now it is a little over $6 million now. Again, just speaking to the testament of the NFL community, sports as a whole, you know, it doesn't matter what league, all the athletes have been reaching out, and again, just the power of prayer, and that it does work. Now, before I move to a different aspect of this. Janelle, is there anything else that you did want to cover as far as health or what happened on the field? Aunt Lou, anything else?
No.
No, ma'am, I think we're good.
Okay. All right. So with this, and we do know, I do want to ask this question, though, ladies. Do you feel that if the players could have received some type of update on the status of DeMar, do you think they would have been willing to continue the game? This is just a question. Things that make the same. Okay, so
No, I honestly don't believe that. If you look back at literally the devastation that some of these players were going through, I mean, several of them were holding each other, just bawling in tears. And I just don't, I honestly don't believe that if they had been able to get an update on him, even in the situation that he's in right now, I don't think they would have been able to. I'm still trying to figure out how they're going to be able to continue on this week. I just don't see it happening.
You know how to set me up. Go ahead, girl. Hey, Lou, I want you to just chime in on the question real quick, though.
I don't think that they would have played because, like I said, once they realized it was more serious than it looked. I just think that, like I say, it's just in their minds, you know, and then people that are close to him, they wouldn't be able to play. And you know, and I just think that even if they wanted to play or whatever, the coaches and the people that's in charge would have had enough, would have been sensitive to just say, no, we have to stop this. You know what I mean? Because, like you said, that's the first time something like this has happened, and that was a serious issue, serious situation.
Shout out to you, King Arthur. I see you in the house. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show. Okay, so now let's go ahead and flip it. As much as people, you know, may not want to talk about it or may think that it's insensitive, or I know Skip Bayless, he got kind of reamed over the coals because of a statement that he made the night of on Monday night. But I think reading is fundamental, people. You have to, and I think it's just, you know, sometimes it's if you don't like a person or you already have kind of disdain for somebody, you're really not going to take the time to digest exactly what it is that they're saying. You're just going to kind of
thank you, Tina Jackson, because I said that exact same thing.
You talking about Skip Bayless in the comment?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and especially T.O., I'm so disappointed in him. I'm like, T.O., okay, right now I just need for you to stay off social media because the way that you reacted, you acted like somebody stole your ball and come to find out you had stole the ball from somebody else. It's just absolutely ridiculous how he went off, talking about you need to lose your job and all this kind of stuff. For those who don't know, you can go back onto Skip's Twitter page, but basically he was saying, you know, with the implications of this game, you know, how is the NFL going to basically make it up? Like, how are they going to do it? But then he came right back with, all of that is really irrelevant now. So it was but it's a question that eventually will need to be addressed. Let's be real. NFL is a business. So, ladies, that's why I said we're going to kind of pivot here a little bit. And I want you to put your GM hat. So I know we have absolutely no idea what the league is going to do. And to the listeners, too, I want you to put on your GM hat. I want you to be, or your commissioner's hat, Roger Goodell. What, in your opinion, would be the best way to resolve this issue? I'm going to put out some options here. Is it possible to call the game a tie, even though the Bengals were winning? I don't know how fair it would be to call the game as it was, so that's why I'm not even going to put that on the table. But do you call the game a tie? And we know what ties can impact a record. Let's put it into perspective. The Buffalo Bills are going for the number one spot. We know the Buffalo Bills the record or the history that they've had in previous playoffs. You can't go too far back into it and think that far. You know, there's a lot of things that probably can't or you shouldn't put into play in making this decision. But for Buffalo, I mean, this is kind of rough for them, having gone to Kansas City and losing in the most gut-wrenching fashion. To know what it would mean to have home field throughout. But do we know if they would have won the game? So, again, would a tie be feasible? Should they play the game? Should they have to go back to Cincinnati, where this happened now? These are professionals. We know that. We know that they have played through other injuries and so forth. But the mental stability that it would take to go back and replay this game, I can only imagine that it's going to stir back up memories. I can only assume that. So is that an option, to actually finish this game? Or do you put it in a neutral site? I mean, I just don't know. If you do decide to play this game, where would you play it? I think it would have to be played in Cincinnati. But do you make it so that, to make it as fair as possible, you do have them play the game? And in order to do that, you would have to move the playoff schedule now. So where you normally have that bye week in between the division, the championship games, the AFC-NFC championship games, and then you have that week and then you have the Super Bowl, do you move the playoffs back? But then what are the implications of that? You have, you know, there's a lot of intricacies that go in and make it. That's why they make the schedule in early April. So, again, I'm just kind of throwing out ideas, or if you guys have or thought of any ideas, what do you think? But just put your commissioner hat on, and what would you think would be the best way to handle this game being played, knowing the implications that it holds? Janelle, we'll have you start that off. And shout out to you, Deneen, JB, I see you, Frederick, what's going on? But everybody on the timeline, I want you to put your commissioner, put your GM hat on. I'm sorry, and this was another question I wanted to ask. Should they leave it up to the players? We know that it's the ownership that has the ultimate say. You know, they're the ones that are writing the check. But should it be left up to the ownership, or should it be left up to the players? I know I threw a lot out at you, so digest it, and it hit me.
Okay, you did put a lot out there. And the funny thing is, I've been thinking about this. I don't think, honestly, that at least for me, I would not want to play that game on that field. I wouldn't want to finish that game on that field. The thing about it is, this game has so many implications, not only for the Bills, but what happens, whoever wins this game, it makes a difference because of other teams. There are other teams that are affected by this. I to be honest with you, I've been thinking about this literally all day. I don't have a clue how they're going to go forward with this. I don't know how you move forward knowing that he's still in the situation that he's in. I feel like even as a GM or even as a commissioner, my first priority has to be the humane portion of this. The fact that you're asking two teams who witnessed, I don't know if you've ever witnessed somebody going through CPR before, but that is a very heavy thing to swallow. You're asking two teams who witnessed him go through this to complete a game. That's why I also said, I don't know how they're going to get through this schedule as it is, this is a very different situation than what we've experienced in the past, and I'm sure that this is probably the first time for some of those players to have ever experienced this. So it's a lot being tied to this one situation. It honestly is. I can't, for me as a person, there's no way I would be able to ask these players to do this. This would have to be something that they would have to come together and say, we are willing to do it. You know what I mean? I couldn't ask them to go forward with it.
I don't want to cut you off, but hold that thought. Robert Garcia says, cancel the game and move on. As I said, I'm trying to be as interactive with sorry y'all, the camera's about to fall there. Interactive with the people on the timeline, so I want to get their thoughts in everywhere as too. But yeah, Robert says cancel the game and move on. Shout out to you, Wayne.
The problem is the implications that this game holds right now. Canceling it is not going to solve a lot of things that we've got to figure out.
All right. Hey, Lou, what do you think?
I think that, you know, I would say, you know, well, we could make it a tie or something, but really the Bengals was winning at 7-3. And you know, with something like this, but if they don't have a win or a loss for this particular game, then it's a shortage, correct?
Well, not necessarily a shortage. I mean, it would just be like if they ended up tying. So then the tie, now you have to go into what does the tie mean? You have to go into divisional records. You have to go into, you know, sometimes not strength of schedule, but your win percentage, like how much did you win by in your game? There's a lot that can go into if a tiebreaker has to literally decide who sits one, who sits two.
Yeah, they're going to have to sit down and discuss it, I just think they need to sit and discuss it. And they could get input from the players as well, you know, for some situation like this, because it's a hard decision. It really is.
It definitely is. And that's why I'm saying, everybody, I know there's no right answer, but that's why I want you to put your committee. If you could be commissioner for a day, I know this would probably not want to be one of the things that you have to address. I understand that. But if you could be commissioner for that, what would you think is the best way to remedy this situation? Frederick says, let me see if I want to get everything that people are saying here. See more. Hold on. There we go. Frederick says they have to play that game like next week and just move the start of the playoffs the following week. Therefore, the Super Bowl would be a week later than scheduled. Oh, okay. So, Frederick, are you saying to move everything a week but keep the bye week in between the division the championship game and the Super Bowl? I want to make sure I understand that right. So you say move everything back, meaning that so when would they play the game, though? Because they can't play it on Monday because they have to play it on Sunday. So you're saying would they play the following Sunday, and they would be the only game on Sunday? What day are you saying that they should play? But let me read that back just in case. He says they have to play that game like next week and just move the start of the playoffs the following week. Therefore, the Super Bowl would be a week later than scheduled. You got to think about scheduling and where the Super Bowl is. Tickets have been bought, plane tickets, hotels, people's jobs, just the schematics, everything. That's something that you have to take into consideration, too. I'm just throwing it out there, but I want to hear everybody's thoughts. JB says, exactly, not playing the game punishes more than the Bengals' Bills. It's no right answer. Exactly. I understand that. The best thing is probably move the playoffs back a week and not have the bye before Super Bowl. Okay. Wayne says, conference points if it comes to a tie. Okay. Yeah, so the conference, how you did in your conference would come into play if they did decide to tie it. Let's see. My mommy says, sounds good to me, family. It's going to be hard for the Bills to relive that particular game. Yeah. Okay, so Frederick's saying play it on that Thursday. Okay, ladies. So Frederick's saying play the game the following Thursday and then move the playoffs back a whole week, if I got that correctly. Is that how y'all understood that, ladies?
Yeah, that's how I understood it, and it makes sense. It definitely makes sense to do it that way.
Well, Lakeisha says, I say play on Thursday night football next week, and you won't have to change the timeline. Well, you would,
but
because
see,
the teams
done,
that don't play
yes,
on Thursday night, they don't play on Sunday. Yeah,
exactly.
You can't expect them to play in 3 days. No, you can't do that. Phil, what's going on with you? Thank you so much for tuning in to the show tonight. Willie, thank you so much for tuning in. Marvell, thank y'all. And I'm posing the question to everybody. I want you to put your commissioner hat on, put your GM hat on. How would you rectify this situation with the game? Do you call it a draw? Do you call it a tie? How do you move it into the schedule? Do you move the playoffs back a week? Do you cancel the bye week in between the championship games and the Super Bowl? If you were commissioner for a day, how would you resolve this issue with having to play the game? Because, again, we understand the health and well-being of DeMar Hamlin is first and foremost. No one is denying, not saying that or nothing. But we have to be realistic, and at the end of the day, this is a business, and the games will go on. Not if they go on, not they might go. They will go on. Even, you know, they're going to play. It's just a matter of how are they going to put this game back into the schedule if they can. So I just want y'all to put your commissioner's hats on, and what would you do if you were the commissioner? It says they have four-day turnarounds all season. No, Lakeisha, if you play on Thursday night football, you don't play on Sunday. Nobody's done that. Now, if you play on Monday, yeah, then you can play on Sunday. But nobody's ever played on Thursday night football and then played that following weekend. That's too much. I think that's too much. Okay, so, Janelle, you're saying I'm sorry, boo. I just got a lot on my mind here. Let's see. Jackie says, if they play Thursday, that three games in a week, can't have that. Yeah, that's definitely Thursday's not an option, I don't think. If we're saying that we want to keep the playoff schedule the same, that's what I'm saying. You can't have them play Thursday
no,
night and then pick up.
No, I think the playoff schedule needs to be moved. I think the playoff schedule needs to be moved. There's already a game that's scheduled for this week. The following Thursday, they will be able to play that game, but you have to put a gap weekend. You have to add an additional weekend. There's
okay.
No way around it.
Yeah, but I'm so sorry. I forgot what you said because just trying to go through all this. Oh, okay, that's what she meant. Okay, right, that's what I meant. And a short week when you play on Sunday, then play again on Thursday. True. Yeah, now if you play Sunday and then play Thursday, but that's still 4 days. If you play Thursday and then turn back around Sunday, that's not going to work. So you're saying Lakeisha is saying to move the playoffs back a week. Okay, I got you. And that's what you're saying, Janelle, to move the whole playoffs back a week, not get rid of the
yeah,
bye
they,
week. Okay.
Yeah, it has to. They have to give them more time. You can't be unfair to them just because we're in this situation.
Three 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2, or hit us up on the timeline with your thoughts. Happy New Year to you, C. Green. I see you in the house. Let's see. Frederick says, before I give my thoughts, let's see more things. Okay. Frederick says, one thing for sure, the other teams that's in the playoffs will have an advantage with a week off. Bills and Bengals won't. Exactly. That's if you push it back. Now, mind you, everybody's going to have an extra week then. And we all know this is, you know, a good time to get the reason that the teams want to get the first seed is so that they can get that extra week, you know, to get people healthy and everything. But then think about the momentum. You know, sometimes having a week off isn't good. Sometimes you just want to keep playing. Now they're going to have, you know, if you give everybody a week off except for the Bills and the Bengals, is that really fair? Like JB said, there is no right answer. I just wanted to pose the question. You know, I love dialogue and just, you know, hearing people's thoughts. To me, I would leave it up to the team. I would conference the coaches, because honestly, I don't think that this is a decision that the owners should be able to make. Before I go any further with that, ladies, what do you think about that thought, about the players and the coaches being able to make the decision and not the owners?
I definitely mentioned, I said that I would have to get the players' thoughts on this. This is not, and not the coaches. I literally mean the players. I understand that the coaches are, you know, a part of this scenario as well, but before I could move forward on anything, I would have to talk to the players.
But in speaking with the players, would you consider what the owners said is what I'm saying. I wouldn't even consider what the owners want. It would be up to the players.
Because it's not. And I understand. Let's just be fair. Let's be honest about this. A football player to an owner is nothing but a commodity. I get that. But you can't, as a person, you can't force me to go out there and do something I'm not willing to do. I don't care how much you're paying me.
Bingo. Because check this. If you talk to the owners and the owners say what they want to do, it's nothing for the players to be like, I'll sit out, I'll forfeit, I'll come up with
right.
an injury. You can't say I'm not injured. You can't say, you know, as a player, if the ownership tried to take that stance, or the commissioner not speaking to the players, oh yeah, I think it would be a coup. But I really don't think they would go there. I really don't, especially these two organizations, because I don't know for sure. But I don't even think it was discussed. I mean, I think that the coaches made that decision. They looked at their players, especially Sean McDermott. He even said, you know, I need to be at the hospital with my player. We're not playing this game. We're not finishing this game. And I don't think he consulted anybody. And I commend him for that. Reginald says, heck, the players would definitely take a week. Well, yeah, I mean, but they wouldn't have a choice if they pushed it back, yeah. But I'm saying, though, that the Bengals and the Bills, they wouldn't have the week off. Let's see. JB says, do you just go with captains, vets, or what? Okay, Janelle, I want to hear your thoughts on this as well. JB asks, do you just go with the captains and vets, or do you go with the whole team?
In my opinion, it has to be the whole team. I understand that the captains hold a little bit more when it comes to decision making and things like that. But in all honesty, it would have to be the whole team because everybody was affected by that.
Exactly. Hey Lou, what do you think? Captains and vets, or the whole team?
The team. Well, yeah, the team, more so.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you, Janelle. I know that the captains, they hold a special, you know, a special rank, but I don't think that anybody can speak for anybody in this situation here, because as a, you know, I think there's different relationships that are involved here, and as a captain, you may want to do what's best for your comrades, but no, I think this should be a team decision. What do you think, JB? Let's see. JB says, what happens if half players want to play, other half don't? Ladies, I'm asking the question again. What happens if half the players want to play, the other half don't?
That's going to be a problem. That is definitely going to be a problem because essentially, then you're looking at having to bring someone else in to help make the decision. And if you make the wrong decision, half the players are still going to sit out.
Hey, Lou, what do you think with that?
Now, that would be a problem. Someone would have to, the deciding factor, someone is going to have to come in there and decide it. If it's a doesn't want to play or whatever, either you're going to do it or you're not.
All right. Lakeisha says, I would take a blind vote to decide amongst the players. And, JB, you're saying exactly. So you're saying exactly that you don't know what would happen in that situation. Honestly, I say if half – I don't think it's going to be even. You got 53 players. Can't be even. So you're going to have one person – you're going to have one that's you know, more, at least by one vote. But if it's that close, maybe that's when you leave it up to the coach. Because don't all the captains have the same rank? Correct me if I'm wrong, Janelle. I mean, there's not like one lead captain and then other captains. Everybody with a seat on their chest,
no,
they hold the same.
No, if I'm not mistaken, they don't hold the same rank. They do have captains that are captains and then captains that are co-captains that are stepped down from them.
Okay. But they do have a certain number of captains that are on the same level, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Maybe that's when you give it up to a vote for them. You know, I really don't think that – well, we don't know. We've never been in this situation. But I can – do you think that the majority – I would think that the majority of the team would rule the same way. I would think. I don't know. But then, that's just the Bills. What about the Bengals?
Right.
You know? We're looking at the Bills side of it. What about the Bengals? But like Joe Burrow said, there was no question that they were not finishing, that you know, that they were going to finish that game on Monday. Everybody said that was a wrap. So would they be – I don't know, y'all. Because the Bengals, they, you know, they have skin in this game too. You know, they want to be as high in the standings, you know, to get their home games as well. Let's see. Lakeisha says captains of each section, but they have ranks. Okay. That's what you're right. I did know that. So each defense, offense, and so forth. Okay, let's see. I love this, y'all. Keep the dialogue coming. Okay, Frederick says, I don't think that they are going to play that game, though. So I see them meeting up in the playoffs in Buffalo or Cincy. The league will make sure of that. Okay. JB says, yes, what about Bengals? There is money on the line for a lot of players. That's true. That is true. That's the sticky part of it, because at the end it is a business. But I still think that they need to give it up to the players. Because let's just, what if they are okay with a tie? You just hate the what-if game. And I said, especially for the Buffalo Bills. Because of the, you know, just the situations that they found themselves in previous playoffs. And if they don't get the number one seed due to whatever reason, if the game isn't played, if they give them a tie, you know, they may emotionally not even be in that game and lose the game. Is that really fair to make? I don't know. But let's just say if they do have to end up in Kansas City for the AFC divisional game and they lose. All the what-ifs. But then what if they win? I don't know.
It definitely is a lot of what-ifs in this situation. And that's just like you said, what if they decide that, you know, to go ahead and agree to a tie? I can't see them doing that because everybody wants that top spot right now. It makes a huge difference who you're going to play, where you land, who's going to be the person you're going to be playing against first. It makes a difference whether or not you'll be playing at all for that first week. It makes a difference. It's just it's not that simple.
I do not envy Roger Goodell at this moment. Now, what I also think should come into play, though, there should be no decision made until this weekend. Because let's say that Buffalo lays an egg and they don't win. Then do you think that should come into play? Because, I mean, if they don't win, then, of course, you know, they could have won on Monday. A lot of woulda, couldas, if, shoulds, and all that. But if they don't win on Sunday, I think that kind of opens the door a little bit maybe for the tie situation. I don't know. Just my opinion. What do y'all think? Hold on. Let me go here. Derek and Marie, thank you so much for tuning in. Frederick says, Stop, Frederick. He says his money is held up in the fantasy championship. Oh, Lord, they're coming in. I have the lead. They need to decide something so I can get me. Okay, Frederick, there you go. there you go with that fantasy. Okay, Wayne says, come on. Wayne says, just go ahead and make it a tie. It is not like you don't have ties in the NFL and nothing has to be moved. This is a truly unfortunate situation, so just go ahead with the NFL schedule. Okay, ladies, thoughts on that?
I have a problem with that whole tie situation. I honestly do. It's one thing if the players agree to it, if both teams, you know, if everybody, coaches and all, agree to it, but I just can't see them agreeing to that. It's too much riding on where you land, who you play, because, you know, everybody doesn't play, you know, the same teams the same way. There's some teams that have problems with playing against other teams. You know what I'm saying, right, mm-hmm. Tina? I can't agree to that.
Neither can I, because if you look at it, the Bengals were up 7-3. Now, we don't know how the outcome would have been because the game didn't make it, you know, to the end. However, so they're going to have to play to make a decision, you know, on that particular one so that they can have either win or loss, on their record. But I just don't think that it should be a tie. Now, if they were 7-7, then we can just say it was a tie game, you know, but 7-3, different.
You know, Aunt Lou, you bring up a good point. So could you just call the game and give it to the Bengals?
That's what I'm saying, because they were up, you know, and I unfortunately what happened to DeMar, but, you know, like I said, it was 7-3, and it was going to be a night. You know, that game was going to be a hot game. You could just tell, you know, the way that they had started out and everything. But we don't know because it ended, you know, horrible. So.
Derek says, I don't believe they will play that game. I really believe they shouldn't play unless they push everything back a week. You know, it's not going to be fair to everyone at the end of the day. Nobody's really going to come out ahead of this. But to me, I think if you do the tie, that would give Buffalo – didn't Buffalo beat Kansas City?
They sure did. In September, they beat them.
So that's what I'm saying. If you give them the tie, that would give them the number one spot. I don't know. That's why I wanted to ask the question. And thank y'all. 347-826-7924, that is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. So I tell you what, we're going to put a quick pin in it. We will jump to a quick break. And then on the outside of this, hey, Lou, did you do a Lucinda's lyrics this week?
Girl, I always do.
Okay, all right. I just was making sure.
Did she just sit you down and tell you to hush, child? Is that what that was?
Oh my goodness. We read too much into it, but y'all ought to know I'm always, remember this, Aunt Lou is instant in and out of season. Unless I didn't text you and say, TJ, I don't have, I think I did that one time, didn't I? Maybe. I don't know.
Uh-uh. No, you ain't never did that.
Okay, well, then I won't play.
So I think the question I should have asked you, will it be football related or will it be personal, so I know what music to play?
Football, because I have football and personal. You know, I be mixing it. I'm just a mixer.
All right, ladies, I tell you what, we're going to go ahead and jump into our break, and then on the outside of that, we'll pick it up, the conversation. We'll see where it takes us, all right? But, of course, right now it is roll call time. Janelle, are you with me?
Yes, ma'am, I'm in the house.
And Aunt Lou, what say you?
Aunt Lou is here, and she doesn't plan to disappear.
You better know it. It is the triple threat in the house tonight. Aunt Lou, Janelle, and TJ. We'll be right back after the break. Mm-hmm.
it's no secret, ladies love sports too with PJ.
Oh, yes, they do. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. And just in case you needed a reminder, he is an on-time God. May not be there when you want him, but he's always, always right on time. Just like this lady right here. That's the only why I asked the question. My apologies. Because it is time. It is time for the baddest lady in the land. When her pen hits that pad. Yes, it is time for Lucinda's lyrics. So, Miss Lucinda, what do you have on tap for us tonight?
Happy New Year, LL Sports 2. Welcome back. I have Week 17 news for you. Two of our teams won and the Broncos lost again. Watching the Broncos play can be such a strain. The sluggish Chiefs beat them 27-24. This was their 15th consecutive time winning this war. Despite Mahomes' pick thrown in the end zone, they pulled it off at home, refusing to be dethroned. Broncos first-year head coach Nathaniel Hackett was fired. Jerry Rosberg is the newly hired. The Falcons slid past the Cardinals 20-19. They actually endured to the end on the scene. Congratulations. The Cardinals have had four quarterbacks in 4 weeks due to all the injuries that have peaked. The game of the week was the 49ers over the Raiders. Yes, I'm glad they won. They refused to allow Las Vegas to be invaders. They went into overtime to break the 34-34 tie. And defeated the Raiders at home on a 37-34 high. Those 49ers are on a 9-game winning streak, and everywhere they go, havoc is wreaked. On a somber note, we will continue to pray for Hamlin's recovery, to come out of the coma and healing, indeed. Nothing is too hard for God if you believe. Let's praise him for DeMar's healing, and we will receive. Pray, everything will be all right, all right.
All right. Awesome job, Aunt Lou.
Thank you, Queen.
As always, I was trying not to run over my cord there. Sorry about that. Awesome, awesome job, Aunt Lou. Oh, hold on. I got to bring Janelle in. Oh, Lord, mercy. Whew. All right,
okay.
Ladies.
TJ?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I have a question for you, but before I have a question for you, I need to ask Miss Lucinda something. Okay, so, Miss Lucinda, did you get a chance to watch your Broncos play?
No, I didn't. I was in at church.
Okay.
I kind of
figured you didn't see the game. Because they actually were putting up a fight. They actually were trying to play the game as opposed to what they had been doing, although they did still lose. But I'm just curious as to how you feel about this whole situation that your Broncos are going through right now.
Do you think they should have got rid of Hackett?
Well, was him and Russell clashing? Or was he making all the calls, or was it Russell? Because I've heard two different stories on that.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think we don't really know. It just the bottom line was that they didn't get along, I don't think.
Oh, okay. Okay, so then they got this new guy in there. Well, I just hope Russ, with this man gone, that he improved. But, you know, I just hope, keep hope alive. I don't even know what I'm going to do. You know, coming into 2020, I thought I would have a decision. And I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just might have to drop football.
I don't know about dropping football, but I will tell you that you still have a pass from me and TJ if you decide to hop back on the Seahawk chain. That's all I'm saying.
You have the whole offseason. You got to make up your mind though before the season starts. Okay.
Yeah.
Before the new season starts.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I got some time, dear. But Janelle, just seeing the score. I know that they were fighting back. I just know that. But they do that. They just so wishy washy.
No, they ain't been doing that this year. They ain't played nothing.
No, I'm saying though they get close, but you know they don't ever get close enough to win it. And which is
they ain't been doing that this year.
No, Miss Lucinda, you would have had to see that game. You could definitely see that it was a difference in the play call and it was a difference in the players. They were actually playing that game this past week.
Okay. Well, I missed that one. But and plus, I don't have NFL, which is something that I will not be without ever again. You heard me.
Yeah, I don't know how people live a football season without having the NFL Network. That's impossible. TJ, so I wanna ask you a question. This is leading into what I was just talking to you about. So as of right now, they have the Bills in the AFC second seed and the Bengals in the third seed. Now, had the Bengals won that game, they actually would have been in the second seed.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, if they win this game that's coming up against the Ravens, they actually will have a back-to-back AFC champions. Now, here's my problem with this: if they remain at the third seed, they're going to end up playing the Ravens back-to-back because right now the Ravens are sitting at the sixth seed and New England is at the seventh seed. And this is what I was talking about. This game that's lingering in the air right now, it's going to make a huge difference about what's going to happen going forward.
I know.
That's why
the implications are at the highest of extremities. that's really I hate to say it, but that's the problem. That's the dilemma because of the importance of what this game was. And so now it's just a matter of really how important is it now? Is it more important than the health and well-being of a player in this league? That's the bottom line. Because really,
yeah.
What will we know in three more days? Prayerfully, he'll be alive. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Yeah,
but hopefully he'll be breathing on his own, you know.
Yeah, I did see an interview with his uncle where he said that they got his oxygen now down to 50% and he's making improvements. So let's hope and pray that he actually continues to make improvements and will be able to pull out of this, because I can't imagine what will happen in the league if he doesn't. Because just like that situation that happened with Tua, literally changed the way that things are being done. I think that this is going to have huge implications about what's going to happen going forward.
Well, you know, and I think that's the big mystery too, because we don't know what happened. I mean, let's be real. We have seen hits on the football field that were 3,000 times worse than that. And a player jumps right back up, get in the huddle, and keep it moving. Or they might be knocked out for a while, get a concussion. Or, you know, might have an injury. I don't want to just dismiss it like that. But we have seen worse hits but did not see the outcome of what we've seen, where a man is receiving CPR on the field. So this
right.
leads to believe he may have underlying conditions maybe. We don't know. I'm not a doctor. But my question, the question that I really hope that the medical people and the doctors can answer, what caused this? Because I don't believe that it had anything to do with the hit. Now, they were saying that it could be, you know, one of the most unusual things where your heart, you can hit your heart at the wrong time and it causes it to, where your heart gets out of rhythm, arrhythmia, and then then you can die from that.
Yeah, we've seen that. I was just going to say, we've seen that happen to kids on the football field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, of course you have doctors that are speculating right now, but where he got hit, it was a direct hit to the chest. So if that's what it is, then, I mean, what's the likelihood of that happening? I mean, how long have we been watching football and it has happened? But that's not to say that it can't ever happen again. But Is it that, or is there just some underlying issue with DeMar? That's the big question now. What happened? And, again, you know, what state will he be in as of Sunday? Again, the Bills might lose to the Patriots. That's going to be a whole different scenario.
Yep.
What if the Bengals lose to the Ravens? That's a whole different scenario. That's going to be and if the Bengals do end up with the 3 seed, you said that they would be up against the Ravens again, right?
Yeah.
Meaning seeing them 3 times in a row. That's the same thing that happened with my 49ers and the Rams last year. We met them back-to-back, and that's why we lost, because we had beat them twice. So I have to go back and look at the schedule, at the record, but I believe Cincinnati beat the Ravens twice. Well, they've already beaten them once. So we'll have to see, you know, if they beat them again. And if they do, that doesn't spell good recipe for the Bengals. But any given Sunday, and the curse has got to be broken at some point.
True story. I mean, to be on Joe Burrow's side for a minute, he's been breaking curses all year.
Yes, yes.
He beat the Browns, which he's never done before. I mean, he has been on it this year. So this could be, who knows if this could be his year? I don't know, but I just know that this whole scenario is just, it is as sad as it is, it just, it really stinks. It really does.
Right. So we posed this question on the timeline here while we were in break, so I just want to pose it to you ladies, and then we'll move on to week 18. So what happens if they don't play the game? What does that mean for the standings? Is that fair?
Then that means we're going to be right where we are. And it's going to make, what's going to make the difference is the games that they're playing this week.
But
it'll end up with the Bills being in the second seed and the Bengals being in the third seed. Unless,
if
like
they
you
win.
Said, they, right, if they win.
But is that fair?
Honestly, it's not, but what can you do? You honestly can't. You can't force someone to play through something that they would consider a tragic situation and have them traumatized throughout an entire game, because, like you said, that them playing this game, the Bills may not be in it. They could possibly be thinking about what happened, you know, during the game that they ended up stopping. So I don't know how this plays out. I honestly don't. But either way, somebody's going to be upset, because it's not going to be fair to somebody.
Right. At the end of the day, and that's the bottom line, somebody's not going to be happy. There's no happy. I hate to say that word, but somebody's going to be upset or have questions or not be okay with the outcome. But only thing, as I always say, time will tell. We will just have to wait and see. But at the end of the day, we just continue to pray that DeMar Hamlin will be with us while these players have to, you know, put back on their you know, helmets and uniforms and go out here and play this game. But
and you hope and pray that this doesn't get in somebody's head and keep them from playing the way they normally would.
Right. 347-826-7924, that is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. Man, the time flies. I actually didn't think we would be on that long. So thank y'all for engaging in the conversation. We definitely appreciated all of the dialogue and everything, so thank you for that. All right, so real quick, I'm just going to go through the just the wins and losses here for Week 17, because I really want to talk about the Week 18 matchup. So Cowboys, they beat the Titans 27-13. Browns beat the Commanders. Wasn't expecting that one. 24-10, shout out to Deshaun Watson.
Real.
The Bucks came back and beat the Packers. I'm sorry, the Panthers 30-24. You had the Saints. Who that nation? Well, I tell you, when people don't think they're gonna be that. I know that's right. Okay. Saints beat the Eagles 20-10. Thank you though. We needed that. Colts Colts just need to go ahead and forfeit. They lost to the Giants 38-10. Jaguars, they beat down the Texans. Texans and the Colts, they can go ahead and retire together. Jaguars beat 31-3. Bears took a beating from the Lions, losing 41-10. The Dolphins and the Patriots, this was a great game. I'd feel it would be, but no Tua, and it was a problem. Patriots won 23-21. Chargers put a beat down on the Rams, 31-10. Seahawks took care of business, having Geno Smith back. I don't know why I thought that the Jets would win. I thought that the defense would show up, but I was wrong. Seahawks 23-6. And the Vikings, they just look like a total hot mess. Packers beat them down 41-17. Steelers, they pulled it out. Tomlin right now has a winning record. Steelers 16, Ravens 13. Of course, no Monday Night Football. Shout out to the Falcons pulling it out in the nick of time, beating the Cardinals 20-19. Chiefs barely pulled it out over the Broncos 27-24. And my Niners finally put it out on the Raiders in overtime. Thank you, Robbie Gould, for making this one more interesting than it need to be. But we beat them in overtime 37-34. All right.
Which that game was way closer than I thought it was ever going to be.
Yeah, but, you know, the Raiders and the 49ers, they always play some serious games, close games, too, just because of that rivalry. Shout out to the AFC Players of the Week, Chargers running back Austin Eckler on offense, Patriots defensive back Kyle Duggar on defense, and Browns punter Corey Borquez on special teams. NFC Players of the Week, Bucks wide receiver Mike Evans, defensive end Cameron Jordan, and cornerback kick returner Kayshawn Nixon. All right. All right, ladies, so not necessarily – well – yeah, I think I do. I want to start on the picks because I want to talk really about the games here. So let us here we go. Hold on, everybody. Week 18, y'all. Week 18.
Yet another reason for us to be depressed.
Week 18. All right, so we have two Saturday games. Chiefs and the Raiders and the Titans and the Jaguars. But the Titans and the Jaguars, they are playing for the AFC South. Who is more, who are you more surprised that they're still, like, that they're about to, they could possibly make the playoffs, the Jaguars or the Lions? Who do you say?
The Jazz.
The Jazz? Okay, Aunt Lou, who do you think?
The Lions. I didn't think the Lions was going to do what they've been doing lately. They, like, when I bet against them, they always winning.
Okay, but she gave you the choice between the Jaguars or the Titans, though.
Did you say the Jaguars or the Titans?
I said Jaguars or Lions. I did say Lions. I said, who are you more surprised that that's in the hunt for the playoffs,
the Jaguars
or the Lions? Mm-hmm. Seeing as how they were so irrelevant last year.
Yeah, it's the Lions for me.
See, but with the Lions, they've been playing good ball. They've been losing. The games that they've been losing, close games. Even last year we said that their defense was really good last year. It's the Jags for me because they have been losers for a very long time now.
Yeah, and it just shows you what a difference a coach can make. It really does because Peterson, he then came in there, and he has totally changed that culture. I believe he is playing Trevor Lawrence to his strengths. And the Jaguars, they are a good team. They are competitive, and they don't quit. Yeah, I think this is going to be a really, really good game, Titans and Jags on Saturday. The Bucks, they did win the division, barely. Thank God finally somebody won it. Stop it now. Okay, let's see.
No. We deserve that because the South has literally been, the NFC South has literally been the absolute worst division this year, period. But I wanna say something to you about this whole situation with the Chiefs. Now, I cannot remember if the Chiefs actually clinched the division, or if it depends, or if it makes a difference what happens. Because if before last week, it actually they were still fighting to get the division. It made a difference as to what was going on with the Bills and the Bengals.
No, the Chiefs have won the division. They're vying for the number one spot now. So now they're between them and the Bills. Who's getting number one? Yep.
No, that's what I meant, for the number one spot. That's what I meant, for the number one spot.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens if they lose this game against the Raiders?
Well, if they lose and the Bills win, well, see, I don't know now because, if the Bills win, yeah, they talked about this. If the Bills win and the Chiefs lose, then the Bills get the number one spot because they beat the Chiefs earlier in the season.
Okay.
So that's where that strength of conference comes into. If they don't replay the games, of course, the one game.
TJ, who won last week, the picks?
Well, I don't I thought as far as the picks, we would just not count the last, the Monday night game. So if we do that, Terry and I tied. We were 12-3. And then you came in second, I believe. Hold on. Yeah. So Terry and I tied. You were second and Janelle was third. 12-3, 11-4, and 10-5.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I was going to talk to you ladies about that. I just think it would be fair to just not count that game. So we'll just have the 15 games instead of 16.
Right. That makes sense.
All right. Let's see. Oh, well, maybe we should go ahead and – okay, well, let's go ahead. We'll just talk about the games, and we'll do our picks at the same time. So, like I said, Saturday is the Chiefs at the Raiders. Who y'all got?
The Chiefs.
Okay. Hey, Lou, you said Chiefs?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but let me tell you something. Stidham. He sure enough looked good on Sunday, okay? The Raiders carved us up for 300 and some yards. The best defense, yeah. Davante Adams, I'm glad we don't have to see him no more.
So who you have, TJ?
Do you know what's interesting? What's going to be interesting is to see what happens with this whole Carr situation, because I want to know if Devontae's staying, if Carr leaves.
Well, let me tell you something. Stidham proved to me that he might need to be QB number one. Because somebody got me on the speaker. Because the main thing everybody was talking about was like, how are you going to put Stidham in against the best defense? It's like you just want him to fail. But Josh McDaniels must have known what he was doing. Because Stidham looked excellent. Matter of fact, between Purdy and Stidham, with them both being rookie quarterbacks, I think it was 1A, 1B. Purdy looked he just made a couple of bad throws. But, I'm glad he's getting it out now. A couple of open people that he missed, but Purdy still, to me, looked good. He looked better than Garoppolo has looked all season to me. That's just me. But Stidham, he looked very, very poised. And the interception that he threw in overtime, that was just because I have the best defensive player in the league, Bosa. Bosa just moved the offensive man right into him, and there's nothing he could do. So, I'm going with the Chiefs. But, yeah, Janelle, I think that I don't think there's a quarterback controversy. I think Stidham earned the job. Because if you can look like that against the 49ers defense, and I mean, he was getting that ball to Davante Adams like it was no tomorrow. And Davante was catching it. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, I forgot how good he was.
But you know, the only reason Devontae came to the Raiders was because of Carr.
The way that Devontae was catching those balls on Sunday, I think he's going to be all right. I think he will be all right. He looked good. He looked like a resurgence of Davante Adams. He really did. So he'll get over it. Oh, we'll see. But I don't think he's going to be chasing Derek Carr too many times to too many things. Okay. So let's see here. So we have the Saturday night game. The AFC South title is on the line. Titans at the Jaguars. Who y'all got?
Jax.
I think I'm going to go Jax as well.
All right, that's a clean sweep. I think they smell blood in the water. The Jaguars are going. I'm going with the Jaguars as well. Okay, so I pretty much know nothing to lose here or to gain in this game. These are the 1 o'clock games. So we have the Bucks at the Falcons. I know you're going with your Falcons.
Bucks.
If the Bucks do what they need to do, they'll play everybody to keep in rhythm. So I'm going with the Bucks as well. This should be a good game just for a whole lot of different reasons. Patriots at the Bills.
Bills.
Yeah, I'm going to go Bills.
I'm going to roll with the Patriots. The Patriots need to win in order to get into the playoffs. They need some other things, too. But I'm going to roll with the Patriots. Oh, and shout out, too. I forgot. Our resident Raider fan, Dale McSwain, he was at the game against the 49ers, and he has a picture with none other than the Gold Rush. Yeah, he didn't take it with the Raider hater. I don't know what they're called. But he took a picture with, yes, the Gold Rush, the 49ers cheerleaders. So y'all make sure to go on the timeline, my standalone post, and my mom, Denise Green, she put the picture on there. Dale just looked like he is in heaven. It looked like he really want to have on some red and gold there. It really does, Dale. I just want to tell you that. But it is cute enough. Yes. All right, so you ladies are going with the Bills, okay? All right, then we have the Vikings
at the
Bears.
You said you're going with the Patriots. Now, you know the Patriots lost to them at the beginning of December, right?
Yeah, but there's a lot on the line now, and the defense looks really good.
Okay.
Yeah. I have until Saturday to change it now. Don't be surprised. All right, then we got, like I said, the Vikings at the Bears. Lord, which Vikings team is going to show up?
I know,
right?
I'm going to go with them, but Lord knows, they just constantly disappoint me.
They're about as bad as the Eagles.
Yeah, being 12-4, you would think that they would be there. But it's like, come on, y'all. I'm going with them again. Give them another chance.
Janelle?
Yeah, I'm hoping that the Vikings team that played last week don't show up. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Vikings.
All right. That's a clean sweep, then. We all rolling with the Vikings. Now, this is just going to be the battle of the bads right here. Texans at the Colts.
Flip a coin and put one down for me because I can't.
Colts.
Yeah,
they're playing pretty good though, but I think I'm a roll with the Colts since only because they're at home.
We might as well make it a clean sweep then.
All right, then we have this should be a good matchup: Jets at the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's gonna be.
Dolphins.
Dolphins, are they gonna show up? I'm gonna try to go with them, but are they gonna show? Well, you voted for the Jets last week and you lost, so.
And I ain't voting for them never again. Thank God it's the last week. Okay.
So it's a clean sweep then.
So we all rolling with the Dolphins. All right, then we have Panthers at the Saints.
I'm going with the Saints not only because they're at home, but usually when they play the Panthers at home, they do pretty good.
Janelle's going with the Saints. Remember last year, the Saints, she would never vote for him, even though she would lose half the time when she didn't vote for him. Good job, girl. All right.
Okay, you are so late.
She's been going with
thank
the Saints.
You. You, yeah. Thank you. All year. Get your life together, will you?
Oh, Lord have mercy. You're just such a sweetheart. So it's a clean sweep, it looks like, right? Well, at least the bitterness is gone, thank God, and unforgiveness and hatred for the Saints.
Oh, I still hate them. That's never going to change.
Oh, goodness. All right, so that's a clean sweep. Yeah, we all go with the Saints. Okay, this should be a good one. The Steelers, Who thought that the Steelers could still be in it? Go ahead, Mike Tomlin. If they, I'm with whoever said this on the TV show today. If the Steelers make it to the playoffs, Mike Tomlin need to win Coach of the Year. So who y'all got? Browns at the Steelers.
Steelers. Because he can't lose this game.
The Browns gonna be fighting for their life, but I'm gonna go with the Steelers.
I'm pulling for you, Mike Tomlin. I think Steelers gonna pull this one out too. They need a lot of more help in order to get in, but I'm pulling for him. All right, y'all. Then we have the Ravens at the Bengals.
Now that's gonna be a good one. Who won? What are they? What is the record with them? You say the Bengals beat them twice or once? I'm going with the Bengals.
They played once yet, and they beat them earlier in the season.
I'm going with the Bengals because is Lamar back? Probably not.
No, he's not.
Okay.
I'm going with the Bengals.
Okay. All right, that's a clean sweep. We all rolling with the Bengals. Oh, Lord, that's 950. Okay, we got to get through these. Giants at the Eagles. Eagles lose. Ooh, if the Giants can beat the Eagles. And the Giants are playing their players. So.
Hurst is not
really
back.
I need the Eagles.
Is the QB back? Hurst, is the baby? Is he back?
He's supposed to be playing, yes. Yes, I don't think it's a good idea, but I think he is playing because they're trying to hold on to that number one spot.
I'm going with the Eagles.
I need the Eagles to lose because they don't, the way they've been playing, they really don't deserve to get that number one spot. I'm going with the Giants.
All right, Janelle and I are rolling with the Giants, and Lou's got the Eagles. All right, we got the Cowboys at Washington.
Cowboys.
Yeah,
baby. Right, that's a clean sweep. All right, then we got the Chargers at the Broncos.
Chargers.
All right, and then we got the Rams at the Seahawks.
Seahawks.
All right, and then that's a clean sweep. We all run with the Seahawks. Then we got the Cardinals at the Niners.
49ers.
Niners.
Right, that's a clean sweep. And then the game of the week, I do believe, Lions at the Packers.
Packers are hot right now. they doing their thing.
I know, and I do not want, to see the Packers because unless we get the number one spot. I really want the Lions to win, but I think the Packers going to pull it out. But I would not be surprised, though, if the Lions do pull it out, though. But, okay, so we all going with the Packers. All right, ladies, well, with that, it's the first show of the year. Thank y'all so much for, just all the dialogue and going along with the platform for tonight. And so with that, Janelle, time for your shout-outs.
We're going to make this quick because of the time. I want to say happy, 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 happy anniversary to Miss Terry. And we miss you tonight. I love all three of you ladies. And go Niners. I really need them to take that first spot.
Thank you, Janelle. Thank you. Hey, Lou.
Happy New Year, everyone, again. I'm going to just get a shout-out to Miss Terry. Happy anniversary. Just enjoy yourself and be a bad girl. Janelle.
Oh, my.
Janelle, she can be bad with her husband. Janelle, I want you, I was thinking that you had calmed down, you know, coming into this new year, but it seemed like you're getting even worse. So I'm going to really try to pray for you more and more so that you could be a little sweeter. but I still love you. I love you. I love all you ladies. I want to give a shout-out to Lena, my sister Lena. She has a birthday on Saturday, January the 7th. I don't know how old she's going to be. Happy birthday, Lena. And we'll be back here, I guess, on the 11th, correct?
Yes.
So I think that's it. That's all
yes.
The birthdays that I know of. Yeah, I think. Yeah. And now, TJ, excellent job as usual. You guys just held it down tonight. And all the people that came on the timeline and everything, that was wonderful. We want to keep the momentum going for 2023. There's so much going on. Yeah.
And, Sandra, can I just tell you that I think that it will probably help if you pray for yourself, and then I'll put some Act-Right on if you put some on. How about that?
Well, you're going to do it only if I do it. What if I say I don't want to? And I want to say,
and herein lies the problem, because I'm not asking a whole lot more than
you. Oh, Lord. Okay, ladies. Well, we just going to end it on a good note. Okay, that everybody going to get to act right juice in 2023.
And thank you, Lakeisha, for calling in, because we were happy to hear from you on the first show of the year.
Definitely. All right. Well, I didn't mean to cut you off, Amber. Was that your
end? So we'll be back on the 11th, correct, Lena? Yeah, that's the only birthday that's going on. I had to look on my calendar. I love you, ladies.
Right, and we love you right back. All right, ladies, until next week. Same bad time, same bad station. I love y'all.
Love you more.
We love you too.
Okay. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. All right. So with that, shout out to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for all of the dialogue tonight. And again, thank you for, going along with the change of the format tonight. I really appreciate it. There's nothing else that, we could have started the show off with. Like I said, I didn't think we would talk about it for the length of time we did, but the conversation was so intriguing to me that, it goes the way that it is intended to go. So whether you listen 2 minutes, 20 minutes, 2 hours, 1 hour, we thank you, we love you, we thank you and we love you for your support. All right, birthdays today, Chris Bryant turns 31, Derrick Henry turns 29, and Tina Knowles, Beyonce's mom, turns 69. All right, there was one Wednesday Wikipedia, 2003, the Green Bay Packers lost 27-7 to the Atlanta Falcons in the NFL wild card game. It was the first time that the Packers had lost a playoff game at home. All right. So shout out to Marlon. Shout out to Ronbo. Shout out to the Chambers brothers, Marvin and Harold. A great big shout out to Robert Hatter, Jim Hicks, and Chris Walker of the Chop Shop. Amazing brothers doing great things out of Houston, Texas. You can catch them every midday from 1 to 3 or 12 to 2, depending on your time zone. Of course, a great big shout-out to Aang Lou for bringing the strength once again with Lucinda's lyrics. A great big shout-out to Terry. She's not here tonight because they are in the DR celebrating their 39th wedding anniversary. So shout-out to the Vances, all right? And, of course, a great big shout-out to Janelle rounding out the triple threat tonight. Awesome, awesome dialogue tonight, ladies. I thank you for that. Shout-out to my daddy, Lawrence Jackson. Shout-out to my brother, D'Angelo Jackson. And, of course, last but by no means least, to my mom, Miss Denise Green, thank you for everything that you do for me, for LL Sports 2. I love you. All right? So that is going to do it for the show tonight. Tonight, motivational moment will come to you in the form of song. I played the first break that he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And tonight... Oh, 35th. I thought she said 39th. I'm sorry, 35th anniversary for Terry. I thought she said 39th. Thank you, Janelle. but like I said, the first break was that he is an on-time God. And so tonight I want to leave you with whatever you need him to be for you, God is. Let's make sure that we keep Damar Hamlin and his family lifted in prayer. We keep the whole NFL nation, every team, every player lifted in prayer. This will change them for the rest of their lives. I don't think that they will ever see a football field the same way again. Yes, they'll be able to get out there and perform, but they'll never look at it the same again. But as I said, whatever you need for him to be, God is.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.